Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Switch to the affirmative. Join Lumo Energy today and Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers. This is Sports Day.
Yes, it is. David Wilding, Malcolm Blight. If you want to give us a call, 1300 736 736, a hot topic for Apple Eye Sports. For the fans, Apple Eye Sports, your one-stop shop for all things sports. And of course, Kia, the groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. You can find out more at kia.com.au. Malcolm, Jack Blight, how are you?
David, Lachlan, Willie. Look, I'm really good. It was a nice day this morning and got cool this afternoon, did you think?
Well, it did. I was going to come in with just shorts and a T-shirt. I had to put a little top on here. It got very cold.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, we do have a game tomorrow, don't we?
It's an unusual week. We've got a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday and a Sunday.
Is that 5 days?
That'd be 5 days.
Okay, so for all those that don't know this, Richmond are playing Melbourne tomorrow night at the MCG.
Anzac Eve.
And there's been changes. I'll give you these. Dylan Grimes, Sam Naismith, Jacob Hopper and Sam Banks are all back for...
Richmond. A couple of nice ones there. They need a few.
And the two main outs, I suppose, are Jaden Short and some others. And for Melbourne, Cozzy Pickett's back. And a couple of young players, David, Bailey Laurie and Daniel Turner.
Don't know a lot about either. No. I know they're 22 years of age. One's a defender, one's a smaller player. Turner's the defender. And Bailey Laurie played 5 games last year and Turner 3. So, I think it might be a chance to give the youngsters a chance against Richmond. I think Melbourne should be too strong, just on the weighted numbers. Richmond have got some massive players out.
Yeah, they have indeed. Christian Salem's injured, who's a really good player for Melbourne, and Ben Brown's been omitted. So he's been in and out the team. Since he played a very handy grand final in 2021, he sort of hadn't consolidated anything in the forward line, has he?
Dude, he's kicked a lot of career goals, so he's got a good record, Ben Brown, and a premiership under his belt now. So
that's true.
And I can't take that away from him.
No, and talking about that premiership at Melbourne, Dave, we had a subject last night talking about the midfield, the Port Adelaide midfield, and how Collingwood spanked them when it counted last weekend. And I did some numbers on the Richmond dynasty, 17, 19 and 20 premierships, and I did some numbers on the Brisbane premierships, 01, 02, 03.
Yep.
Their midfielders, their three main champions, their average ages for Richmond were 26, and for Brisbane, it was 24. Now, we talked about Butters, Rosie and Horne-Francis. Their average age is only 22. So last night I said, I reckon they're 40 games, maybe another couple of seasons. I've picked them to go top, but I'm just looking at that now. History's a great teacher. So what I did today, I looked up the Melbourne, the 2021 premiership side.
Oliver. Ivani Petrarca.
They dipped, others went through there, but three main guys. Their average age was 25.
That's a sweet spot, isn't it?
Yeah, I reckon that it just seems to me that it doesn't matter what you do. You just got to play, don't you? You know that. I mean, you've played enough footy. We've all had. But it just, they're going to be really, really, they're good players now, but they're going to be even better with a bit more experience, and they'll be able to turn around those. As Collingwood got hold of them, they'll be able to turn that around. They'll go through it. The coaching staff will go through it. So they're going to get better from here on in, and you need some of those lessons, David.
Yeah.
And so they're still young in terms of what modern history teaches us.
Now, you've got a theory, too, on the Port Adelaide defence. They've been leaking goals this year, and they're playing the three big guys, which they thought they'd been undermanned. They picked up Zerk Thatcher, tall lad, 195 centimetres, Radicalis, 197, and they've got Alia. They were shown up They were showing up, the three big boys, and you play a Hoskin Elliott or an Elliott on these guys, and they didn't seem to know what to do. You got a theory that they like to play from behind.
Yeah, they do, particularly Elliott and Radaglia. And I've noticed it. It's happened a few times now, and it was a guy called Riley Thilthorpe in a game they played early in the year, one of those
trial matches.
And Thilthorpe took marks in front, remember that? Because the wind was against him and the ball dropped quickly. I just thought, they like playing from behind. And that's when I started looking. And they do try and read the ball in the air from behind. And what you're saying is quite right. You put a guy that can actually lead. Now, you need to be smart. And you need your teammates to be smart up the ground. And I think you're right. Those guys are going to have to play. And I know they don't like doing it now. They all like playing team defence. I reckon they're going to have to play a bit of back shoulder stuff. And I reckon every defender needs to do that and learn to do it. Yes, there is time for team defence and you can peel off, but there are times when the ball is in general play, you've got to read the game.
And I think they'll enjoy playing in the bigger guys too. I don't think Elia wants to be standing in a 5'10" lad that can run, nor does Radaglia. They want a big body, and they generally can beat the bigger body, but no doubt they were found out. Their defence, Lockie Jones, is very shaky last week.
Yeah,
he's on our show a lot of times. We love Lockie, but made a few mistakes over in the footy a couple of times. So too did Burton. And Radaglia at times is all at sea. Elia started well, but when the pressure came, they crumbled. And this has been Port Adelaide's Achilles heel, which they thought they'd fix. So you're saying go more man-to-man. Don't guard grass.
No, I think so. And I know it's probably not the modern thing to do, but I think that's rubbish too. Because I think there's a time for both. In general play, read the game. When it's 50-50, you've got to be somewhere close.
I think so.
You know what I mean? Because that quick kick falls short.
You need a metre.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They gave the example, four Port Adelaide players in the goal square, the ball dropped short, and Hoskin Elliott marks on his chest.
Yeah.
1v4.
Yeah, I know.
And the one wins.
Yeah.
So, Port Adelaide. Someone also rang me today, someone of note, said, has Blighty mentioned the screw punt Connor Rosie attempted?
Attempted.
It was about 70 out, or 65 out.
Well, that's easy. We can all do that, you know.
Well, he didn't do it.
No, because he actually held the ball quite awkward. You know, it almost, I don't know what he was trying to do, but you need to go down the ball a
weird.
Bit. Yeah, it was more at, 45 degrees rather than 60 or 70 degrees. Yeah, it was quite an unusual way. Now, I have seen some guys over the year kick them, but not consistently. Because you're going to hit less of your boot by holding the ball at that angle. You need to get more of your boot, purchase on your boot, say 75% of the 90 degrees or 60 or whatever it is, when you do it. And I just thought, Connor, I hope you kick it. I'm really barracking for you, but not liable to kick it.
So with anyone over 60 metres, you really have to try a screw. Not many guys can kick a 60-metre drop punt.
No.
Not from a set shot, unless they're on the run and getting momentum.
And occasionally you can hit one, but no, most blokes can't. You know, you've got the man on the mark, so you've got to go back further, and you've got to get over his arms as he puts them up. So, it's a good 60-metre kick sometimes. And, mate, as I've said to you 100 times, grand final, you're 65 metres out, it ain't going to get the job done unless you are practising torps. Why don't they, David?
No, I'm with you. I had a thought about you and you're saying when all the games you'd play, and you played a lot of games, you can rarely think of an umpiring decision which was a shocker or clanger, because we used to, in our day, just got on with the umpire says goal or point, and you accept it. Even the touch ones online, we had no idea. Okay, it's a goal or point. But this is getting crazy now. The goal umpires are scared to make a decision. I'd still be saying, okay, make your decision, but they look at every goal upstairs, and most of the goal umpires' decisions they originally make tend to be right. So they're second-guessing themselves.
Correct.
Would you agree that just let the third man up in the box look at the replay, and if there is a bad or blatant one, you go back and have it again?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said to you last night, and for those that didn't hear, played for 18 seasons. I saw one goal umpiring error that I thought was 100% error, and it was. It wasn't changed because we couldn't change it in those days.
One in that
18
career.
Years. And I don't know how many games, nearly 400 games, I suppose, 350 all up, all over the world. And I just don't know why, and I'll repeat it again. Because of a grand final where Jack Hawkins hit the back of the post and the goal umpire missed it, the whole media, and I'll tell you, this is where it all started from. If someone said, that's one in a million, David, that's one in a million misses, wouldn't have happened. No, but everyone got onto it. Every media person got onto it.
You don't think it was the Adelaide goal last year that really intensified it?
That didn't help.
The Keys one.
But that didn't help.
Yeah.
But if we had someone up in the box in our little cubicle saying, hang on, that was a goal, and they need to grow a siren and go, bzz, 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 well, you know, some sort of siren.
It's becoming a, dare I say it, a blight on the game. Text 0427154166 Samuel Fantasia.
David and Blighty, it's not the goal umpire's fault. They've been directed to do this by the AFL footy department. That's from Mark.
Well, it's their fault then.
Whose fault? I don't think it's a fault. I think it needs a correction.
So how come suddenly they don't know whether it's a goal or not? If all these years they've known, suddenly, oh, I'm not sure. Did it hit the post? Did it cross the line?
Yeah.
No, I think most people would say it's a farce. It is absolute farce.
And I'd have to say the Ben Keys one was an odd one. You don't see that very often at the end of the game. How was the last time that happened?
Let's go to Milo from Mount Gambier. Let's talk AFL tactics from left field. Hi, Milo.
Hey, how are you, boys? Cold up there?
It is cold. Cold.
Was it cold down your way?
Well, I imagine what it's like. It's monkey, brass monkey. Now, I'm just going to ask the question. I've been watching a lot of AFL now that I'm not involved with local footy and can sit back and have a good look. Now, are we ready for the American NFL hang time kit to get players back?
Oh.
Yeah, Milo, just, yeah. One of the issues, under pressure, this is, you know, I used to have rules when I was coaching, and some are made up, some you pinch, some you borrowed. But one of them was, under pressure, when you are under pressure with a kick, which happens quite a bit, particularly these days, with more packs around, kick it long, hard, and high. And what I see people now doing, and a lot of players under pressure, will just kick it and try and pick someone out. And they always get chopped off. So high gives everyone a chance to get there, both teams. So under pressure, I used to have a rule, kick it long, hard and high, and then give everyone a chance. Yeah, don't kick it low, because that's luck. I agree with you.
I like Milo's thoughts there. And when you look at Brisbane, they overhandled, didn't they? Whereas Geelong, you said territory. In a wet day,
don't handball.
As far up that end as you can.
These are the things that you grew up with, David. Those sort of tactics you grew up with or added to or made up. But, I mean, they still work.
Number 1-300-736-736. Let's go to Mark from the Limestone Coast. Hi, Mark.
Oh, g'day. I don't know if the cold front's hit up there, but I tell you what, it's pretty wild and woolly down here at the moment. Gentlemen, the fixture, it's a farce. I'm sorry. I know that Malcolm loves his stats, and I've got a couple for him. Adelaide have been hard done by. St Kilda have been hard done by. And Sydney have been given a dream run. I'll tell you why. Adelaide, in these seven games, has had to do six-day turnarounds. They've had three of them, right?
Yeah.
And they've had no buys at all. St Kilda has had 2 5-day turnarounds, a six-day turnaround, and no buy. Whereas Sydney, no 5-day turnarounds, just 1-day, 6-day turnaround, and they get a buy. How come they get a bye and Adelaide has to do 6-day weeks and St Kilda has to do 5 and 6-day weeks, but we don't get a bye?
Yeah, and Lee Matthews, in answer to this, Mark, would say, how come Port Adelaide and Adelaide get an extra home game because of gather round? Mate, the fixture's been exactly
never
that.
It's never been even since moving
from the VFL, 12 games, we used to play 22 games, and it worked. Everyone home and away.
And generally on a Saturday.
And generally on a Saturday, 2:15, 2:20. So, I mean, since that system has gone and it's embraced the AFL and all these teams have come in, with 18 teams, mate, you just can't. I don't say the word's fair. It's just not possible.
I wonder over the course of the year, though, whether that evens out the teams that haven't played the 5-day breaks. When you're playing Thursday night footy, Friday night footy, Saturday, Sunday, there's going to be 5-day breaks.
Of course.
There has to be.
Yeah.
So, and look, Adelaide have travelled. Adelaide have been to Perth, the Gold Coast, Melbourne already. Haven't had the best of draws, but hopefully it does even itself out a little bit.
It's an interesting debate. I don't know what else you do with 18 teams. And you've got all these state stuff. And I must say, I meant to look at Geelong's. I think they've got a harder run coming up. Now,
I'm not sure about tough games.
Yeah, 5 or 6 days. But at the start of this season, because of Gather Round, because of holidays, because of Anzac Day, because of other things, you know, there are some shortened breaks. But for goodness sake, David, we are spending, what, over $20 million or $10 million, whatever the number is, on high-performance people to make sure that they know what's going on, surely.
I'll tell you what we have learned. It's cold at Mount Gambier. Limestone cases coming this way.
Chris, we answered this text yesterday, but you've texted in again today on 0427 154 166. The boys are not playing in the Pro-Am tomorrow for LIV Golf.
The boys?
You.
No, but I'm going to the party. Little Tommy Wren from Channel 9 was out practicing in the gully today. He's playing tomorrow. Blighty would have just said, nah, not on my watch. Coming up, true or false, thanks to the groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9. He's a member at Grange. He plays every week, so he doesn't need to play. The 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Find out more at kia.com.au. Actually doing a Kia breakfast, showdown breakfast next week.
The boys from Kia, yeah.
Put out the youngster, Dante Vizentini, joins us for Toolkit Depot's tools, equipment, safety gear and workwear. Sam Fantasia, he appears again for Tyre Power. Power Up sale is now on. And, of course, Nutrien Ag Solutions going further for Australian farmers.
The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Switch to the affirmative. Join Lumo Energy today and Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers.
Sports Day SA, a sporting update for Toolkit Depot. Everything you need to get the job done. Tools, equipment, safety gear and workwear in-store and online. Just news too through Jesse Hogan, of course, the key forward for the Giants. He's got off for that little slap of the face of the Carlton defender or Carlton forward. And Toby Green still currently at the tribunal.
Might be a while.
Will he get off?
To 50-50. I thought when I first saw it he would. I thought he'd get a game. I still probably lean that way. It was one of those, wasn't it? You could go either way.
Getting softer and softer. Grimes and Hopper come in for the Tigers and Cozzy Pickett for Melbourne.
It's a big in for... Cozzy's important to them, isn't
it? Oh, massive.
Yeah, massive.
The little blokes you need as well. Yeah. Mate Internet, $20 off for 5 months with Mate Internet. Use the promo code SAVE20 with Mate Internet. True or false, I'll open the batting.
Go.
And here we go, Malcolm, one of your old clubs, Geelong. Should be flag favourites.
Well, I think they're in the frame of being equal favourites with three others.
It's pretty open, isn't it? I reckon six or seven teams could still win it from here.
Yeah, I've only gone four.
Only four?
Yeah, well, three with Geelong. There's three equal favourites.
Who are the other three?
The ones sitting near the top of the ladder somewhere there. Yeah.
So you don't know?
No, I don't know. All right. My true or false is the West Coast Eagles, David, the team, will be in the top six next year.
Oh, false.
Come on.
That's outlandish. False.
Why would that be outlandish?
I would have probably said they may be further in the rebuild than North Melbourne and Hawthorn, maybe. But
they're talking about changing the name to the Harley Reid Football Club.
Now, well, there you go. That'd be silly too. You were not one for massive celebrations.
No.
You kicked 100 goals in here and Melbourne.
Yeah.
Probably everywhere else you played. But Josh Rochelle should perhaps focus more on the footy and less on the goal celebration, given he's had a great week, Josh.
No, he hasn't had a great week. And you know what? I think because of when we played, if you did that, you were called a big head. You know, that was the way it was done.
Kevin Bartlett celebrated
way back
then,
although
didn't he
did a little bit, but most people didn't because...
Dunstall didn't.
No.
100 goals, Dunstall just bought.
Yeah, it didn't. No. And I just think that was the way it was then. They're a bit more expressive, the young people these days. And I think occasionally probably doing it, if it's a great goal and it's at a great time in the game, the fans get into it.
All right, your turn.
Port Adelaide, having looked at all the midfield numbers of the premiership sides of the last 4 years and all the dynasties, will win the flag in the next 2 years, David?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I think they were shown up.
Could you just say the word, please?
False.
Okay.
I've got 17 other teams or 18 teams in Tassie coming on my side. Hey, if they do, I'll be the first to congratulate them. Do they play two rucks or one? Four.
I think one if Charlie Dixon comes back and he can give them a chop out.
So that's true. Hey, okay. Here's one for you. You love that. You love your Brownlow. Everyone at Brownlow?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Isaac Heaney is start of the year. Now, you saw the coaches' votes. He's miles ahead. He's going to win the Brownlow this year.
I think
Is that true or true-ish?
No. It's true-ish. True-ish. And mine is, David, this one. The Adelaide Football Club, in a bit of a down year this year, will make the eight next year.
Oh, you'd hope so. But, boy, That's got to do it, don't you? It's easy. Talk is talk. Got to walk the walk.
Walk the walk.
We're all surprised with what's happening with the Adelaide Footy Club so far. They're 1-5, should be 2-5. In the showdown, they might be 3-5, Malcolm.
They could be or could not be.
Okay, coming up on the show, Port Adelaide youngster Dante Vicentini. Thanks to Mate Internet, $20 off for 5 months with Mate Internet. The Good Oil, for Cobram Estate. I do love the Good Oil. I know you do too. And I've been eating it or having it most nights. The premium Australian extra virgin olive oil. Lost in the wash for showers, the dog washes. All footy clubs need one. And, of course, Nutrien Ag Solutions. They're going further for Australian farmers.
The Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Switch to the affirmative. Join Lumo Energy today and Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers.
Welcome back, Malcolm Blight and David Rorty. All thanks to Tyre Power. Power up sale now on. Save on Kumo. Visit your local independently owned Tyre Power today. Blighty, time now to talk to one of Port Adelaide's young guns, Dante Vicentini. Yep. You saw him play on the weekend.
Yep.
The young lads and the tall boys in particular, it takes a while, doesn't it? You fill out and B, get to use of the pace of the game. But he had a taste of it last year.
Yeah, he did. Three games, as we talked. And we spoke to him last year, or early this year, I think we did. And I'm going to ask him, David, one of the great stories of how he played his first game and how it all unfolded. So, Dante, welcome to Sports Day, as David said. Now, give us that story again about your first game.
Thanks very much for having me, guys. It was definitely a bit of a different first game story. Just I was an emergency for the game against Essendon over in Melbourne. Yeah, basically the warm-up and everything went off without a hitch for Scott Lysette, Scooter. And then, yeah, as the ball was about to be bounced, I sort of got the hurried call to run downstairs and get changed. And then after all that, it was a bit of a blur, but yeah, it was pretty amazing sort of set of circumstances.
And yet the parents, everyone came late, I suppose, too. They're expecting to be just watching and then they have to make a rush for it, or are they already going to come to the game?
No, my parents were actually just going to have dinner at home and watch the game. So I was pretty lucky that it was in Melbourne. But I was also fortunate because I had some friends that just went along to the MCG to watch. So they were pretty surprised when they saw me out there. But it was a really great night.
Yeah, well done. As Blighty said, three games. So you've got those games. You'll play plenty more. But when you have to sit behind a couple of experienced guys, particularly Soldo and Sweet, what goes through your mind and what do the coaches tell you? Because you're only a young bloke, and I say the often the young ruckmen do take a bit of time. You've got plenty of time ahead of you. But how do you cope with that, knowing, well, it's probably as long as those guys stay fit, you won't get an opportunity unless something happens?
Yeah, it's actually really probably a good opportunity just to learn off some really competitive and experienced players in Ivan and Sweety. I think the pre-season was a really good one for me just because I was just, given a chance to compete against some older and bigger guys. And, I think they're really helping me develop, and that's all I'm trying to do, is continue getting better. Yeah, be ready if I need to be.
Yeah, Dante, I mean, I did watch the game on the weekend against Woodville West Torrens. A couple of things. First of all, Jared Redden is a... I call him a hardened veteran of the Woodville West Torrens Football Club, a big fella, ruckman. He's 33 years of age. You're 20, a baby. But, I mean, it was terrific just watching it. Now, I just want to tell you something. I looked up your stats. You had 14 disposals, 8 kicks, 6 handballs, 3 marks, 7 tackles, which was impressive, 28 hit-outs and 4 clearances. And it's the first time you played without Jordan Sweet. So you were the man. So the question is, how did you enjoy Jared Redden being a veteran and then also to be the P on the day?
Big Jared was a different sort of challenge than some of the other Sandful ruckmen. As you said, he's pretty experienced. I think he actually might have retired even last year, and they've sort of brought him back due to their own injuries at Woodville. And he's obviously still a very good player, so it was good to have that challenge. And as you said, they're just a bit more time in the middle obviously helps, but... I'm trying to split myself between playing as a forward and in the ruck. So it's good to have the opportunity, but also, continuing to get better as a forward.
What do you think you need to improve on most? As Blighty said, there's quite a few things you did do, tackles and clearances and disposals. What's the one thing you'd like to really pick up on?
Probably Matthew Lobie and Hamish Hartlett might say my free kicks against, which are often a little bit too high. That is actually something that I'm focusing on, sort of just giving away a few too many in the ruck contests, and then also sometimes a couple of high free kicks, trying to tackle some smaller guys. So that's a real focus. And then, yeah, as I mentioned before, just trying to be versatile in the role that I can play. So working on my marking craft and forward craft, but yeah, they're probably the main ones.
Yeah, Dante, there was an old saying, I used to use it a lot. When you go to a marking contest, ruck contest, any contest at all with another player, opposition player, there was a line I used to use that if when you first feel the body, you know, when you first come together, just nudge, in other words, your hips, not your arms, not anywhere else, just nudge the body. And I think you'll find if you start, I hope Matthew Lobe's actually showing you that, that you don't need to grab and grapple. All you need to do, and there's a lot of ruckmen do it, and it drives me nuts, actually, perfectly honest, because you give away you give away free kicks. But if you just think of it, when you go to training next week, if you're not doing it already, just when you come together, when you're practicing, just when you first feel them, don't grab, don't just nudge your hips. Learn to use your hips with your body, and I reckon you can improve that part of your game very quickly.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there, Bloody. The arms are sometimes just not relevant, and you don't even know you're doing it, and just they can slip high and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's definitely a good thing to focus on and skill to develop.
Now, I don't know if you guys had a training session on your review today, but it was very unlike Port Adelaide on the weekend, particularly to be leading by 5 or 6 goals and be beaten by that margin, and wasn't good viewing after quarter time. Have you had a chance to hear what the coaches have had to say, or have you had a training run?
Yeah, we reviewed the game as a group, and obviously it was a pretty spectacular start in that first quarter, but yeah, we sort of let the momentum swing late in the quarter, and as it played out, we were beaten in the contest and other areas which we have reviewed and looking to improve upon particularly. It was a loss that we're definitely going to take a lot from, but yeah, hopefully just can get better in those places a bit quickly.
Young Port Adelaide ruckman Dante Vizzantini, guest. How robust are those reviews, and how much honesty is there? Are the coaches, you know, really give the players, and the players give feedback as well?
Yeah, well, I think it has to be communication both ways, and everyone's pretty open to hearing what people have to say, and yeah, players are often called upon to provide their thoughts on a particular set of vision or specific play, so they're pretty open reviews, and because we're all in it together, it's not really the coach is just putting it all onto the players. I think that's probably a good aspect of you go, David.
It's very hard to stop momentum. You guys had it early, but we know Collingwood, they are the reigning premier, and when they get their backs up and with a massive crowd there, it is really hard to, probably one of the hardest gigs going around in footy.
Definitely, yeah. I was actually there for a quarter as an emergency before I headed to the airport, and the crowd was pretty deafening. So that definitely plays a part, but yeah, probably just need to be able to control those swings of momentum and get it back going our way. But yeah, the MCG is a bit of a different beast.
Yeah, I'll say. Dante, just going back to that review that David talked about, having sat through about 3 million of them, did any of the coaches own up? Did Ken Hinckley or any of the line coaches, development coaches, anyone own up and say, we could have helped you out today, team?
Not something that has to happen in particular, but as I said before, you know, it's not just put on the players like fully, and it's not put on the coaches fully either. I'd say that it's a balance of both, and coaches are able to admit when they maybe need to provide a bit more insight in the preparation or something along those lines. But no, I wouldn't say anything in particular, or individuals or anything are calling or being called out or having a lot of blame heaped on them. But,
no.
As you said, Blighty.
Yeah. I don't mean it in that way. I mean to actually learn from it. I mean, I reckon sometimes just being totally honest about it. And if, you know, one of the coaches, doesn't matter what the name is, but just says, geez, we could have actually helped you there by moving this or moving that magnet. Was anything like that said?
Similar to what I was saying before, I'd say Ken is pretty strong in owning what has occurred, and not that it's him specifically, but he usually leads our review. So, yeah, he's pretty good at detailing when he thought he might have done something a bit differently or is open in putting it out to the group, asking whether this should have been done differently. But as I said, there's no specific details probably that I can give you there. That
No, but that's fair enough. I mean, what you're saying is right. I mean, that's terrific to hear that. You know, that I mean, of course everyone's in it together, but I mean, individuals have got to learn, but the team's got to learn as well, don't they? And sometimes the coaches have got to learn about their team.
Dante, you are a young man from Melbourne, Victoria. What's it like coming over here, and how have you adjusted? It can't always be that easy. So how have you found it? And you're obviously very positive. You want to improve, and you know you're close when you are at Emergency. But how have you found the experience so far?
It's gone very well, I think. I don't feel too new to it at the moment. It sort of feels like I've been here for a while now, going to this being my third season. But yeah, the club do all they can to sort of make you feel at home as soon as you arrive. And yeah, just sort of been building from there and feeling more and more comfortable in the city and sort of at the club the more time you spend there. And yeah, it's a very enjoyable move despite the challenges that come with missing sort of your home and your family. But yeah, I'm pretty fortunate in the fact that people love to come and visit, and you know, it's only an hour flight and sort of 8 hours drive, so it's not forever away, which helps.
Well, you keep up the good work, and no doubt your chance will come, and really appreciate having a chat.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Dante Vizzentini there, young Port Adelaide. You saw him play and Jared Redden, who is a big unit.
Yeah, no, he did okay. Yeah,
those stats weren't bad when you read out.
No, that's right.
For Ruckman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hit-outs, clearances.
Yeah.
Possessions.
There's little steps upward.
Yeah. And from Dante Vizzentini, earlier today, Sam Fantasia caught up with AFL record editor Ash Brown.
Sports Day SA. You're unbelievable. On Cruise 1323 and 1629 SEN SA.
And one person who is unbelievable in how good they are and how good the publication he runs is the AFL record editor, Ash Brown, all thanks to Signet. Power every moment with a Signet power bank. Ash Brown, how are you today?
Very well. Good to be with you.
Mate, it's great to have you. And it's a very special week for the AFL record. We've got our annual Anzac Day edition. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure, one of our biggest and most important editions of the year, this one. We always have a lead feature, sort of an Anzac theme, and this year we've come across the story of Private Tom Starcevich, who is the distant cousin, or distant relative, I guess, of Brandon Starcevich, who plays for the Brisbane Lions, and Craig Starcevich, the former Collingwood Premiership player who's coached the Lions AFLW team to a couple of flags. Also from Western Australia, and he was an incredibly brave and tenacious, they called him ruthless, soldier on battlefields in Egypt, Borneo and New Guinea for the Australian Armed Forces in the Second World War. And we've enlisted Ben Collins, who's a leading football writer and historian, former senior writer at the AFL Record, to tell his story. And it's a wonderful piece of writing in this week's magazine.
Fantastic. Can you tell us just a little bit about the honour roll as well?
Yeah, we are. Every year we run the list of the complete list of league footballers, not just old VFL players, but from all the state leagues around the country of players who died on active service in Australia. Every year we get a couple of sort of names we add to the list and sort of additional information as well about these people who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Well, at the same time, they were league footballers, and their loss is obviously very keenly felt. It's a very important duty we have in the record every year.
A very special edition of the record this week. And another special edition, the Crows take on North Melbourne down at Belrive Oval in Tasmania in Hobart. Can you tell us a bit about the special edition, Tasmania edition, of the AFL record this week?
Yeah, we decided to put out a special edition of the record. This is in addition to our weekly record that comes out. Basically celebrating the arrival of the Tasmania Devils and to celebrate the rich heritage of Tasmanian football. So it's a 76-page magazine full of great stories, including a list of the top 25 players in order of Tasmanian footballers. That'll be the great argument starter down there, I think. But that's a special edition on sale for $10 for those Crows fans who are going to be at Blundstone Arena for the game against North on the weekend. You can grab two copies of the record, the regular Anzac Day or the special Anzac Day edition, and our Tassie edition as well, which will also be available through aflrecord.com.au. And if you happen to be one of those 200,000 people who's a foundation member of the Devils, you get a chance to buy it through the club as well.
Ash Brown, AFL Record editor, joining us. Ash, thank you so much for your time. We'll chat to you Wednesday next week with Dan Menzel and David Woody.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Good to chat as always.
Awesome. And $6, all thanks to Signet for Aussies living life on the go. Signet phone accessories go the distance.
Sports Day SA. On Cruise 1323 and 1629 SENSA.
Yeah, the show keeps moving on. Time now for the good oil, thanks to Cobram Estate, Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. Blighty, Scotty Pendlebury, I know you love him as a player. Mm. I think everybody loves him as a player. He plays to Collingwood, 10,000 possessions. What's he, four away?
Four away from it, amazing. He knocks off the two Harvey boys.
That's incredible. What's he played? 370, 390.
And he will become a 400-game player. Let's keep your fingers crossed. I always say that with some trepidation because we have a lot of injuries in our game, David.
Yeah, so he's averaged over 25 career.
Freak. I look today, these are the people that are in front of him now. There's only five. Dustin Fletcher. 400?
Yeah, we've got Fletcher, Burgoyne, Brent Harvey.
No, you've got to do them in order.
Oh, Fletcher.
Yeah, 400.
Bartlett.
Bartlett, 403.
Burgoyne.
407.
Harvey.
No.
I'm missing one, am I?
Michael.
Tuck,
426.
And Boomer Harvey.
Brent Harvey, 432.
He's leading.
Yes.
And I think, seriously, if Pendlebury wants to go ahead, you can always put him in that half-back flank or the half-forward flank if you want to down the track.
He had a bit of a run in the... Didn't really talk about it, but he had a bit of a run in the middle again.
Oh, he's a good player.
Yeah.
He really
just finds it, doesn't he?
I love him as a player. And that basketball background, the time stands still for him, doesn't it?
The interesting thing is we all think that pace, and it is, pace is a massive, massive plus in our game. He's never really had that pace, but he's had that evasiveness and smarts in the brain area.
I'll put you on the spot. Out of the 400 gamers, who's the best that have played it?
Yeah. I think on those names, I love Dustin Fletcher as a defender, but on those so far, I think Kevin Bartlett with his premierships and his goal-kicking ability later in his career, a bit like a Lee Matthews. Yeah. I think if you put him there, Tucky was a really consistent
player. Boomer Harvey's a good player.
Yeah, Boomer was a good player, played in the premiership side. Dustin Fletcher played in two premiership sides and won two best and fairest at fullback.
Wonderful. And stood all the terrific full forwards.
All the goodies.
Yeah.
And your mate, Sean Burgoyne, you absolutely loved.
Funny, never All-Australian, never won a BNF with Hawthorn yet. He's right up there. They called him Silk. I think if your name's Silk, you can play. Hey, Zach Butters, too, you play 100 games. I don't know what your percentages are. Bloody
17%,
18%. 17% play 100. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, mine's not that great a record then. I thought it'd be a little bit lower then. What about 150?
150, I'll tell you now.
Half again, wasn't it?
Yeah, 177 was Brett Burton. It was the top 6% of all time.
Oh, well, I'm probably 8%. Okay, Zach, but it's not about me, though.
No, and I actually played 178 at that level and another...
So you're in two top 6%, which is 12. Zach Butters on playing 100 games for the Port Adelaide Footy Club and what it means to him.
Yeah, I've been very grateful that this club gave me an opportunity, and I've really enjoyed the move over to Adelaide and the friendships I've created. And the Footy Club's been a really good place for me and has given me a lot. And I like to think that I've still got some repaying to do as well to the Footy Club. And chasing that premiership is still a very big goal of mine, and many of the players at the Footy Club, many of the staff and the department were all chasing the same thing. So I like being on the journey here.
He's taken a while to become the player he is. Rosie went quicker than him, I think, but Crow's had a chance to pick up Zach.
Like
you say, they're hindsight.
They're all on the sheet. Every name's on the sheet. Yeah, it just depends on. Sometimes
they went
you get
for
lucky.
Chase Jones.
Oh yeah.
Then they went McHenry, I think, at 16. I think Butters went 12.
Yep.
Dersmer, 18, and Connor Rosie, 5. So
right.
Good pickup there for Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
What about the biggest improvers? What are we, round 6? You always say after 6 rounds, you get an idea.
I always thought about a third. You know, third to now there's 23 rounds this year, but probably 6 is certainly, 25-odd percent or whatever. And you start to get a bit of an idea. And we all make our predictions at the start of the year, David. And,
you can look a genius.
Of course you can, but, I mean, who knows? I mean, and injuries have a fair bit to do with it. But we'll go to the surprises first. My first surprise is a team called the Geelong Football Club. You know, with what they went through last year after winning the premiership, were they going to fall off the cliff like a lot of people thought? Right now, they're undefeated.
Are they 6-0?
6-0.
That is unbelievable.
Yep.
I know they haven't played some of the very best teams, but they did beat Brisbane.
Yes, they did.
And somehow Chris Scott has resurrected that team again. He's got Cam Guthrie coming back.
Yeah.
Parfitt's playing some super footy. Dangerfield's missed two or three games. Tanner Bruin's a good youngster. Max Holmes is a good player. And we know they've got a good defence and a reasonable attack. So.
And Tom Stewart's going to be out next week.
Probably he might miss a week or two. Yeah. But he'll be. But they bring someone else in.
Yeah, that's right. Who would have been? Okay, my three. This is my three surprises. So Geelong at the top. I picked Carlton and Sydney to play to finish in the eight. Their form at the moment looks better
than what you thought.
Than 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
It looks close to top four. So that to me is a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had Geelong as my most surprising team at the moment. And I think you're right. I had Carlton down the bottom of the eight, like 6, 7, somewhere around there. Sydney a little bit higher, but they perform well. My disappointment is there's a couple. The other one I thought have gone better than I thought is Essendon. We both had them pretty low. They're 4-2.
They're a line ball for me. I've just seen this.
Game ahead.
Yeah, I've seen this story before.
Oh, yeah, they can collapse like a house of cards.
So I'm a bit reluctant to go there because, they're a little bit better, but they're not greatly better.
What if they knock off Collingwood Anzac Day?
Yeah, well, that's going to certainly...
We could do this again next week. If they go 5-2, that would be remarkable.
It would, yeah. And they would deserve it then, too.
The biggest disappointment, it has to be Adelaide to be 1-5. I thought at worst, they'd probably be 3-3. I didn't think they could be, 4-2 or 5-1. They played teams that weren't good last year, although Geelong, now we look at see who's sitting at the top. They played them and got beat. Had a chance against Essendon, had a chance against Melbourne, couldn't get the job done, beaten by Freo, beaten by Gold Coast. Just hasn't been their year so far.
No, they are my second biggest disappointment. I've got one worse. North Melbourne.
North?
Norton 6.
And getting smashed.
And getting, I watch them every year. I try and look for something, and it just hasn't happened. They've got the new coach. There's a whole new buzz around it. They've got some nice young players. Luke Davis, Uniacke, Simpkin goes all right. They've got the big fella up forward, Larky. The only thing they haven't got is someone in defence who's actually going to stand up. So that to me, of all the... they lost Mackay.
The defence looks terrible. Griffin Logue, hopefully will come back. No, you're right.
Yeah, I just reckon they could have been a bit better with another defender on their list.
Where do Brisbane sit in your list of disappointments?
No, they're just behind North Melbourne and Adelaide. Now, Brisbane, I think, have the ability. They've lost three games from at home, which is last year they didn't.
Brisbane, 2-4?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you expect them to be a bit better. They don't lose at home, but they have.
So that's a disappointment to me. And the other one I've got another bracket on, this is like Essendon, your Essendon in the Alps, Western Bulldogs. I'm still not sure where they sit. They're a bit like Essendon, aren't they? They sort of look as though they've got a reasonable list, but they had a good win last week, but it's sort of up and down a bit.
Yeah, have Brisbane lost three at home?
Yes, they have.
Collingwood, Carlton, and Geelong.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, not easy beats, but they have, and it's most unusual. I saw Chris Fagan saying, this hasn't been on our agenda for a while, losing at home.
Well, if you're going North Melbourne as a disappointment, we could almost put West Coast as a plus. Couldn't we?
Oh, yeah. No.
They've knocked off Freo.
Yeah.
They won a couple of games, and suddenly they don't look the absolute basket. I had West Coast finishing 18th.
Yeah, well, in my true or false, I gave West Coast a mention, David, as you know.
As I know? Yeah, I'm not going back now. I'm a forward-looking man. Hey, can we quickly talk about, I don't know if you caught up with it too, the Crows and their home. We've got a few people that, and there's only about a handful, maybe 10, 20, that are complaining about the way, what the Crows want to do, their vision, this and that. It's getting a joke when I think there's 120,000 people in the electorate and there's about 25 that have put in a complaint not even a complaint, and about half of those have a complaint. What is going on?
Yeah, well...
Can't the government override that?
I suppose they can. I mean, it seems to have gone on forever. I get all that. Hopefully it'll unfold itself. And at some stage or other, they'll make the decision, get on with it. And
But the holding up the Crows is going to be $1 million per month every time it gets delayed. It's going to be delayed to June now.
Is it? Yeah.
Because they need a consultation period. What a joke. Seriously. Port Adelaide have got the brand new facility.
Yeah,
we've been
it's
there.
Gorgeous.
We saw the Crows.
Yeah.
Like a car park demolition job down there. Terrible. Nah, come on, Peter Malinowski, because I know you're a Port man, but get on with it. Okay, after that little rant, that's our show. Thanks to Lumo Energy, Australian-owned and supporting communities, the arts in you. Don't you think I'm fair saying that? I mean...
Yeah, no,
it's normally you that goes into data.
But politics, it seems to take ages to get through all layers of it.
All right, Liv coming up too. Can't wait for that. Going to the party tomorrow. I'll let you know all about that, Blighty, on Thursday. Join Lumo Energy today for a brighter SA. And, of course, Nutrien Ag Solutions. Remember that name, Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers. Find your local branch at nutrien.com.au. You have a great night. What's on tonight for tea?
Yep, pork, roast pork.
And a glass of wine?
Might have one.
I'll miss you tomorrow, but I'll see you Thursday. We've got an hour show to an Anzac Day. See you then.
Bye, David.
The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Switch to the affirmative. Join Lumo Energy today. And Nutrien Ag Solutions, going further for Australian farmers.